Sometimes neglectful parents make it necessary for kids to figure out everything on their own, how to get by, how to get their needs met, how to stay safe. If you grew up like this, I'm going to guess it's been hard for you to recognize who among the people you know really has your best interest at heart. And this shows up as relationships where someone mistreats you, but you stay. Maybe you even keep saying how grateful you are to have anyone at all to be there for you. And this wound of neglect can also show up as a strange inversion where in the past you took care of everything for yourself, but once you bond with a partner, no matter how aloof or unavailable they are, you keep wanting to take care of everything for them. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Aimee, and she writes, "Dear Anna, I'm 40 years old, and after discovering your channel, I realize I suffer from CPTSD. All right, I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things that Aimee is telling us about herself that I want to come back to on a second reading, but let's read through and see what's going on. She says, I left home at 12 years old. You see why I had to read this letter, 12 years old. My mom is a narcissist, and I also didn't learn about this until 2 years ago. She always put me down when I was younger, wished I never lived, and still today she's gotten worse. At age 12, I left home because her boyfriend was assaulting me, and I knew if I told her, she would not believe me. So I left home and put myself in foster care. Wow. Today, my mom still doesn't believe me. She stayed with that man years after I left. I'm so sorry. That's terrible. I found a foster home where I felt safe, and I didn't think I needed therapy, and I felt like I could heal myself. I get it. It wasn't until about a year ago I realized that I needed to go to therapy to start somewhere to see what blind spots I was missing. I was in a relationship for 12 years. He cheated on me 4 years in, and I stayed. I was hoping he would change. This is my attachment wound where I was not ready to leave yet. He treated me well, but he cheated, and it broke us. I recently met a man online. He was everything I was looking for. Whenever I hear that phrase, I always know something that wasn't what you were looking for is coming. He was everything I was looking for. He suffers from CPTSD, but for the most part of our relationship, it never was evident that he struggled from it. You would never know. And we met after a year. We spoke on the phone every day. So I guess it was an online relationship. And a year they met and then spoke every day on the phone. He always made me feel seen and safe. Seen and safe. These are key words for you. He was always supportive. I always felt like he was my best cheerleader. He was never jealous or possessive. He never was quick to judge, but would be curious. He celebrated my silliness even when I was a brat. The first 3 months into us talking, we had plans to meet, and everything was exciting and fine until he had a trigger right before I came. He completely shut down, but would still walk me through his emotions and let me know he will come out and just to be patient. This was all new to me. It tested my emotions and commitment. Normally, it would be such a big red flag, but I knew this was out of his control, and he did his very best to explain to me what was going on and was still very calm and supportive. It lasted for about 6 days. and we were taking baby steps to make sure his headspace was okay. I learned later he was a little insecure, but we never talked much about it because I was afraid to bring it up and afraid it was an experience he didn't want to talk about. No more episodes. We spent a lot of time together on the phone. This is always, you know, this is how a lot of difficult situations start out, is a lot, you know, a relationship that isn't face to face. There can be a lot of problems hidden behind all that. About a year into our conversation, I spent 10 days with him in his hometown. We stayed in separate spaces across the way from each other. We were not intimate. We did have a small kiss. I was nervous and scared, and he supported it. Never made me do anything I didn't want to do. We caught COVID in the first 3 days of my stay, but it showed me how we took care of each other and made the best of the worst situation. I can see that. There was a lot of attraction on our part, but we kept it PG. We care about each other a lot. 2 months later, right before my birthday, we had plans to meet, but something happened and it triggered him, and this time he said it was worse. It's been 3 months and I felt like I was ghosted. 3 months, okay. He sent a few messages here and there when I try to reach out. He said he wasn't doing well. He's a broken person and he needs to learn how to crawl before he walks in this regard. Okay, that is what he tells you about himself. He said he's sorry he fell apart on me. He asked me to stop messaging or try to call because the notifications caused him instant collapse and they're a reminder of how much he failed me. We went from a loving relationship with great communication to complete ghosting. Wow. My heart has been shattered. It tested me. It got me reading more into CPTSD so I can better understand him. Wah-uh, there's your red flag. And in return, I found out I have a lot of the trauma too. Yes, you do. You have an extraordinarily traumatic backstory. Over the year, he has made me such a better person. I am more self-aware and I'm rewiring old habits that never served me because he showed me a better way. He was patient and I never felt so seen and loved before. He encouraged me to go to therapy so I can better understand how I perceive life. I wish I could be there for him. I wish I could be his safe place. I felt the trigger was because maybe the pressure of us becoming real was overwhelming for him, especially if he was not financially stable. But I wish he knew he could talk to me about it and we would figure it out. When he stopped talking and communicating back, it triggered abandonment issues for me. You know, that's not just a trigger. He did abandon you. It's, I know what you mean, that it brought up even more than you felt about the current situation. But just to say, you know, that's not crazy. Someone ghosted you. It sent me into overthinking and obsessing about what I could have done better. It sent me at times thinking I'm not good enough and I always chose the wrong person. Yeah, that's what ghosting does, huh? It's a very hurtful thing to do. I really want to fly to see him just to show up and just give him a hug and let him know I got him. We would figure it out. But a part of me says if he loved you, he wouldn't want the risk of losing you. But another part says it's not in his control that the trauma is overwhelming for him, and he's doing his best. I battle by asking myself if I should surprise and show up. No. I'll just cut to the chase on that one. You should not. He has said, please don't. Would the trauma be so bad that it would send him to collapse and shut the door in my face? Or would he be happy to see me but still can't communicate? He's not a cheater. He's not seeing another person. He's isolated and he does keep to himself. The reason why I believe he's not a cheater or has someone else was when we first started talking as friends, he told me that he was talking to someone else and he just ended it with her the night before because he felt like he was developing feelings for me. We were not flirty. We were just friends. He didn't have to tell me that. I would have never known. I respected that because my ex would have never done that. He also said a few times that he would never do that to me. He's been cheated on before and he would die before he would do that. His family knows about me, but we have never met. When the guy and I met for the first time, I was still unsure where we were headed, so I didn't want to do that. And then we got sick. I trust him and I trust his words. I trust that he's really dealing with the trauma. He did say he started therapy and he started making some changes and he feels he could hold a conversation and promised to call. He also said that this has all been very embarrassing and the reason why it has been so hard for him to reach out. I wish he knew he was safe with me. I would protect his feelings. I feel like I would never find someone who connects with me on this level. And because things stopped so abruptly without a clear explanation, I can't let go. I've been working on myself and my emotions to better understand where it all stems from. Did you go to a therapist, or are you doing it by yourself? It says, please help me. Why do I feel like this is worth the wait? Is it just my trauma tricking me? My heart can't heal. Okay, Aimee, I really feel for you. I'm going to take you at face value that you guys really do have this close friendship that's handled mostly by phone, that doesn't tend to deepen when you're there in person together. And the one time you were together, there was the whole COVID episode. But I think it's interesting that there was just a tiny kiss. So I think the main thing I want you to see here is that as much as he is a friend to you and has been caring to you and it's helped you to become a better person, which is a good sign, he told you flat out what's going on. He's a broken man, he said. He can't handle this. And so as you're trying to figure out, is he just saying that? Is he not into you, or is he into you, but actually is it what he says? Let's assume that it is what he says. And he does think you're great, but he's ashamed because he cannot handle a relationship. And what I want you to do, because you have all this concern for him, I just want him to know that I'm his safe person and we can work it out. And those are very appropriate feelings for somebody who is there for you mutually, where there's a history of being there for each other mutually. So you guys didn't have a chance to form that. It hasn't formed. It seems like it won't. I would just say for anybody, if you're dating somebody and they ghost you like that, like stop talking to you for months and can't give you an adequate explanation, that would disqualify them from being a good person for you. And the only thing that would change that is some time and them like demonstrating that they've done something quite radical to change. And they pursue you and they say, I really want to try again with you. Here's what was going on. Here's why I think it can be different this time. And, you know, when somebody is having to pull away from us for their own sake, it's so, because of how you feel, it's so easy to picture how that would be if you both were treating each other that way. You could just show up at his house. You could just tell him, look, I got you. But he doesn't want you to got him. Is what's wrong. He can't deal with it. And that's assuming everything he says is honest, and who knows. I'm sure people in the comments will have speculation about what's really going on with him, but I will take you at face value that he's just broken. And I promise you, you can't have a relationship with somebody who can't handle staying continuously connected. That will not work. So he's been a friend to you. He's been a friend who has to pull away. And it's not clear to me like how he feels about the fact that you have romantic feelings for him, or if those are returned. You hadn't been totally clear about that, but I'll just assume, you know, that it was there and it got pulled away from you. So that's an ending. That's an ending from somebody who doesn't have the resources or the knowledge about how to be very straightforward about it and just say, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do this. For whatever reason he has, let's assume the reasons he says, he can't do it. And he clearly thinks well of you and wants you to be happy. And we all want you to be happy. And for you to have a happy relationship, it's going to have to be with somebody who can be with you. This is like the core criteria for, is somebody going to be a good partner for you, is can they be with you? Will they be with you? Is that what they're signing up for? Like if they're actually with somebody else or they can't deal with people, they cannot be with you. That's just a fact. It's a logistical fact. There's no happiness in that. So as much as when it was going well, it brought good into your life, now it's bringing you pain and anxiety. And what I just think, and I probably would have done the same thing that you've done, but since I'm not you and I'm not going through this right now, I can give you the perspective of somebody on the outside. That I just think with your, I mean, you had a egregiously bad childhood. I can't even believe you had to get yourself in foster care at 12. I've never even heard of anything so Dickensian. That's quite terrible, but it's also incredibly formidable of you. You clearly are a very strong person. But you had to crap fit all your life. You had to fit yourself to situations where you didn't have love and everything was on you. And so, of course, your mind is like, I will fix this. I will come to you. I'll give you the feeling. And I just want to sort of bring your attention how the feeling that you want him to have is a feeling that you also need. You need that. You need to feel safe. You need to feel that he's got you or someone's got you and that it's okay, that you're not going anywhere, you know, that they're not going anywhere. You need that. And so neglected people, myself included, we try out that thing. It's like, how about I give the thing that I need so badly? And what's interesting is when you say you want to be there for him, you want him to be okay. I don't hear the acknowledgement there, which is okay, but I assume it's true. Like, you need it too. So that you want to be loved. You want to have companionship. You want to get on with your life in the presence of the person you love. Of course. So this is sad. This is a sad one. And it doesn't seem like flat out mistreatment to me. I think you've read this correctly. He's giving you what he can and he's withdrawn because he has to. But therefore, that makes him not a good match. It's just not a good match. So some people stay friends after a relationship. With you and your abandonment wounds, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's unlikely that you can find emotional peace trying to stay friends with somebody you're in love with. It tends to create, you know, never-ending turmoil, longing, pain, and a deep emotional unavailability that makes it impossible for somebody else to find you who would love you and would want to be there for you and, you know, live with you, marry you, live life with you and enjoy everything about you. I wish that for you. And I hope you can find your way towards being free and emotionally available for this. Sometimes we have to let go the most dear friends in the name of our healing. So, well, you don't have to do anything, but I'm just going to put that in front of you, that this sounds like a very hard one to keep holding on to. When a relationship has been causing pain or the absence from somebody has been causing pain, it can be very hard when you were neglected as a kid to go ahead and open the door to it feeling even worse, to just step right into that abandonment wound. It can feel like you're going to die. And that's called abandonment melange. And people who are actually abandoned, which you were, get it pretty bad. And it's more than average people feel. I'm sure you've noticed that. The level of grief and anger and panic is more than most people feel. And so when we feel abandoned or the end of a relationship arrives, a lot of us who have that, you know, we've had to sort of like hide and act normal because we know like we're taking it harder than the average person. But one thing that can help bring that back into like just like regular level grief and panic and anger is just to be able to tell yourself, oh, this is abandonment melange. This is a thing that traumatized people feel, that people who were literally abandoned when they were young have this. It's a kind of emotional flashback. And it's beyond your control, but part of you can still stay conscious that it's happening. If you can just say to yourself, oh, I'm having abandonment melange, it can bring the intensity down of those feelings back down to the bearable level. Everybody gets their heart broken sometimes. Everybody has to do scary steps away from relationships that used to be stable. That's kind of part of life. It is harder for us. It's really good to have support, if you can get that, to have tools and support. And what I want to leave you with is a form of support, these tools that I used to deal with my intense emotions when I had to let go of all the pointless and painful relationships when I finally began to heal from my trauma. And I call it the daily practice. It's two very simple techniques. I can teach it to you in less than an hour. It's a free course. Lots and lots of people have taken it. And if you take it, you'll get emails inviting you to free Zoom calls with me. I do them every 2 weeks and my team does them in the in-between weeks. They're always free. And you can come use the techniques together with other people who need the techniques, who relate to you. It's pretty wonderful. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days.
And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in crappy childhood fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.